Would you call yourself a socialist?
No.
You've never told a lie in politics?
No.
See, somebody sent me a video actually last Friday, and it had you talking at the socialist in your
Yes, yes.
And you mentioned the word comrade about four times in a minute. What was that about?
It was a rally, and I would have been about 25 years old.
Comrade.
That was in 2009.
Oh, well, I can't remember which country it was in.
Has it changed since those days?
No, not particularly. No.
If you are caught in a lie or caught intentionally misleading the New Zealand public, how would you expect to be held to account?
Well, I actually believe that it is possible to exist in politics without lying.
We drum in that messaging around the dangers of COVID pretty diligently for a full two-week period of sustained propaganda.
You're listening to Grant Edwards, 88.1 FM, The Wireless, the world at five.
A very good morning to you. Let's go straight to the weather, shall we, and tell you what's going to happen now. So we're a wee bit late. We did wake up at five. We're getting close to five, but I just didn't have it in me. It really took it out of me yesterday, actually. I have to be honest with you. Just took it out of me. I don't know if I could do that 5 o'clock again for another year. So we might do 6 o'clock. The reason why I started at five till seven initially was because I didn't want to interfere with RCR radio. But I'm not that happy with some of the things that they've done over the years and their backers. What's their backers? What are they called? Voices for Freedoms. Yeah, I think they knew all about Barry Young, the whistleblower from the Ministry of Health, long before we did, and they didn't do anything about it. It was only Liz Gunn and Counterspin Media that actually got the ball rolling. Well, Barry is caught, of course. Took a bit of coaxing, though. It's like trying to get a timid little puppy out of a kennel. It wasn't easy, but you know, he's out now. He's as brave as a lion now, so that's great, isn't it? So let's go straight to weather, and the extremes, first of all, Blenheim. It's very warm down there, almost 21 degrees, 20.8 degrees at the moment. Lumsden, a lot cooler there. Oh, boy, yeah, 4.6 degrees at the moment. It's probably going to be chilling off a little bit just before the sun comes up as well. Castle Point has 63 kilometres of wind blowing through there at the moment, and Hokitika is the wettest place in the whole country, 3.4 millimetres of rain. Temperatures right across the main centres. We've got Stewart Island sitting on 10 degrees, Invercargill and Dunedin are both sharing 11. Chatham Islands is on 13. Queenstown's warmer this morning than it was yesterday, 11 degrees as well as Dunedin and Invercargill. Timaru 13, did I say that? Christchurch 14, Blenheim's on 21. Pretty warm, isn't it? Very good, 20.8 degrees. We've got Franz Josef on the west coast, 12 degrees. Westport's a bit warmer, 15, 19 in Nelson. Masterton and Wellington 17 and 19 degrees, Palmerston North 16, New Plymouth 18, Napier 16 degrees, Taupo and Rotorua both sharing 15, Gisborne's on 18, Hamilton 16, Tauranga 16 degrees as well, and Whangarei 19 degrees, Kaitaia no reading from them this morning. The short forecast for the west from Northland to Hotowanua, Kapiti Coast, including the central high country, scattered showers, easing in the north of Waikato in the afternoon. For the Bay of Plenty, periods of isolated showers clearing this afternoon. For Gisborne and Hawke's Bay, fine apart from isolated showers, scattered afternoon and evening showers, possibly heavy. Wellington and Wairarapa, cloudy periods, scattered showers developing this morning. Nelson, Marlborough and Canterbury, scattered showers easing from the afternoon. Buller and Westland, rain clearing from the south this morning and then mostly fine. Otago, Southland and Fiordland, mainly fine. However, a few showers lingering about Fiordland, Southland and Clutha. And for the Chatham Islands, mostly cloudy, showers developing in the afternoon or evening. I'll be back in a minute with some weather. When are we done weather? No, what are we talking about? News. We'll go straight to the news. Have I got anything out of Australia? I don't think so, but we'll wait a bit longer and see what comes up.
Have you seen Finnair? They're going to start charging people for their total weight, their cumulative weight when they check in. So themselves luggage, which means
fatties pay more.
Chumbawambas should have to pay more because they're effectively carrying an extra person either on their underarm or their gunt or elsewhere. And you'll know that that's a policy I've been advocating for ages. I used to call it weigh in at check-in. What we need now is for Chumbawambas to have to pay more and for skinny minis to be able to pay less rather than everyone pay a bit more for everything, which is what we seem to do all the time at the moment
for
absolutely bloody everything, which is why people are so pissed off.
Yeah.
But given that my policies are now being adopted, we can only assume that given the state of Sunak and Starmer and the rest, I'll be Prime Minister.
Yeah.
I would say within the year.
That's right. Oh, good on you, Katie. I like you. Really do.
Full disclosure, I knew President Trump 25 years ago.
Oh, you did?
He and I, we didn't hang in the same circles, but we used the same law firm. One of my former business partners was the former governor of New York, Hugh Carey, who was a partner in the law firm, the same law firm that the president used.
So have you ever, like, ran into him at a meeting or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
And so were you both, like, talking to each other? Hey, man, how are you?
Yeah. Well,
he
is 10 times tougher than he comes across on TV.
Oh, yeah?
At least maybe 100 times.
Ooh, look at those elbow pulls.
I mean, he is a ball-busting, hold you accountable.
Yes.
If you tell him that you're going to be on the moon by next week, you better be on the bloody moon next week.
Yes.
And so, I mean, he doesn't take any excuses.
That's amazing.
88.1 FM, The Wireless International News.
Right, international news brought to you by Grant Edwards and Digger David's son, the son of David. Good on you, Digger. Well, it seems to get louder, doesn't it? It starts off all right and then it gets louder. Thanks, Digger. Now I'm just actually over at Rumble looking at some wonderful albacore being hauled up. I did that for a while. I loved it. Look at that big fish. That's not an albacore, I don't think. Or is it? No, it's a big tuna. Well, an albacore is a tuna. Yeah, that's an albacore. Pretty sure. Actually, that one looks like a skipjack to me. They're not so tasty. I could be wrong. It's been a while since I've done fishing. You know, the international fishermen, you know, those people over in the United States that go for the broad bill and also the albacore, they love line, what do they call it now? There's a brand of fishing here, Stormline. They use those. They're really good, and that's a New Zealand company. They've got an office in Auckland there, down near the boats in West. What do they call it? Gosh, it's been so long since I've been to Auckland. The marina at the west side, you know, near the bridge. What do they call that? West Haven. That's the one. Yeah, it looks like albacore to me. I could be wrong, though. Anyway, looking at international news, we'll go straight to... I hope that's going to end. Oh, yes, it will. Okay. All right, we're at World News. We're looking at apnews.com at the moment, and aid ship sets sail to Gaza with hundreds of thousands of starving... faced starvation during the five-month war. An aid ship loaded with some 200 tons of food is set sail for Gaza. This pilot program for the opening of a sea corridor to the territory where the Israel-Hamas war has driven hundreds of thousands of Palestinians, so-called Palestinians, Arabs, to the brink of starvation. Well, it's Ramadan coming up, so it'll fit in nicely with them. Haiti's prime minister says he'll resign as violent gangs rampage. They put the gangs in there to help them come to power, and now they've got too much control. It's not clear who's going to be leading next. And why Haiti was so chaotic? Well, it's chaotic because the leaders, as I said, used the street gangs to gain power, and then the gangs got out of control. Election watch. Putin can point to a resilient Russian economy as he orchestrates his election. Listen to the way they write this. Russia's economy is holding up despite massive Western sanctions. Well, Tucker Carlson was over there and he could find everything that he wanted to buy and more. So they're doing very well, thank you very much. Total misinformation about the Russian economy. Portugal's elections, they leave the country uncertain of its future, but heartens European radical right. Yeah, they call them radical right. Listen to the way it's written. You know, these people... Honestly, it's no wonder News Hub and others are about to go down the toilet. Well, News Hub's down the toilet and the others will be flushed along with for the ride, I would think. Portugal's inconclusive general election results, meaning weeks of political uncertainty ahead. And they also give fresh energy to Europe's shift towards a right. They call it radical right. Absolute nonsense. Now, here's some adult fairy tales. Four astronauts from four countries return to Earth. After 6 months in orbit, they say, they've been in the terrarium. I mean, think about it, folks. How do you contain LPG, or you Americans, you call it, what do you call that stuff? Propane. How do you contain that? You just let it float around and it just stays. You have to have a container, don't you? You do. And so, you know, how can we contain our atmosphere? Well, it has to be contained. That's why we live in a terrarium. Thinking people realise this, but dopey idiots, atheists mainly, the whole idea of the globe-earth theory is is to hide God from you. Because when you realize that the earth is as the Bible says it is, it's a circle, and it is like a seal, and a seal's got a lip around the outside, a bit like one of those crusty pizzas. And when you realize that and you come to your senses and actually believe the Bible, because the Bible is true, thy word is truth, John 17:17, you'll realize that we live on an earth that's not spherical at all. God knows the difference between a ball and a circle. They are different. Now, SpaceX Dragon capsule flying in the terrarium carried four so-called astronauts. Returns from the International Space Station, which is fake as well, and it splashed down in the Gulf of Mexico. Got no way of checking any of this. Online influencer Andrew Tate and brother Tristan Tate face Romanian court after the US issues an arrest warrant. And Haiti, we got him. Well, it's Henry, isn't it? Yes, he says that he'll resign once the transitional council is created. Looking at European news and the Russian military transport, this is first of all in Europe, the Russian military transport plane with 15 people on board has crashed on takeoff, according to officials. Kate's Photogate scandal shows that relationships between the royals and the press really run smoothly. European Union members could open talks with Bosnia on joining, the EU's executive branch has said. Vatican diplomats seek to defuse outrage over the Pope, over his white flag comments. Moving across to Asia, and looks like Chinese legislature meetings. I just have a quick cough. You have to swallow that one, don't you, Grant? Yes, I'll have to swallow it. Can't spit it out the window. Might not so good. Oh, you're disgusting. Let's get on with it. Let's be professional. Okay. We've decided we're going to be professional this morning, didn't we, Digger?
Yeah, we said we'd be professional.
Okay, let's be professional. Chinese legislature's meeting returned, but the limited openness they once had is gone. Chinese Nobel-winning author targeted in patriotic lawsuit. A Thai election body seek dissolution of Progressive Party that won last year's general election. And do I understand any of this?
No. Anyway, someone will.
Yeah, I guess they will. Protest drove Nepal's king off the throne 16 years ago. Now protests are trying to bring him back. Moving right along to Latin America, and they've got news over there. What's the news? Well, from US jail, Venezuelan general who defied Maduro awaits potential lengthy sentence. And how a wandering white shark epic journey could provide clues for protecting them. 50 people are injured by a strong movement on a plane travelling to Auckland from Australia a couple of nights ago. El Salvador extends anti-gang emergency decree for 24th time. It's now been in effect for 2 years. Let's look at the Middle East now, and a pair of Israeli airstrikes deep into the northeastern Lebanon kills two people, according to officials. UN envoy finding that some hostages were victims of sexual violence does not justify the Israeli attacks. That's what the UN envoy says, you halfwit. I mean, Douglas Murray watched video footage of a flipping terrorist cutting off the head with a shovel of an innocent Israeli civilian on October the 7th. Don't give me this nonsense. Gosh, they talk rubbish. It's amazing, isn't it? If you tell lies for long enough, hard enough, people believe it. But don't believe it, folks. Come and listen to me. I'll tell you the truth. We're going through the news here and we're dissecting it and we're looking at it and we're actually distilling it. And we're sorting the shit from the reality. A meeting at the UN body promoting equality for women starts with five male speakers. A Swiss refer Syrian president's uncle to trial for alleged war crimes over four decades ago. Gosh, that's a while ago. In Africa, at least seven people are dead and 37 people were rescued after a migrant boat was found near the Spain's Canary Islands. An African Development Bank chief criticises opaque loans and tied to African natural resources. Excitement and scepticism meet Algerian decision to import beef to meet the high demand during the Ramadan moon god ceremony. Muslims spot Ramadan crescent. Oh, there it is. Oh, look. Oh, they are lunatics. Moonstruck, loony. There we are, moony. In South Arabia, that's where they hit. Once they see that crescent moon, then they know. Because it's an old ancient, did you know it's an ancient moon god thing, isn't it? Anyway, that's why they have the crescent moon. It's got nothing to do with Allah. It was all to do with this moon god worship, which is just basically stems out of Babylon, Babylonian goddess worship. And today, the Roman Catholic Church, they do the Babylonian goddess worship. They just change all the names around. Semiramis is now Mary, and Tammuz, who was the son of Nimrod, gored by the bull, he's supposed to have come back to life. The T's for the cross. That's why all those people in South America, during the Spanish Inquisition, when that happened, they came ashore and they saw that the natives already had crosses. So it was very easy to convert them to Catholicism. Well, you either you know your life or you convert. So you convert, don't you, by forced conversion. You know, you want to live. Yes, so that's so there it is. So they just swapped all the names around, and Peter is what was Peter? Zeus or something like that, I think. Yeah, something like that. So Muslim spots Ramadan crescent. There we are. Muslims welcome the holy month of Ramadan with mix of joy and deep concern. We're not sure what they're concerned about. Oh, they're concerned about everything, aren't they? So it's a religion of hate and a religion of war. Florida teachers can discuss sexual orientation and gender ID under Don't Say Gay Bill, apparently. That's been misinterpreted, actually, so we'll have a quick look at that now before we go on with any more news. Orlando, Florida, students and teachers can discuss the sexual orientation and gender ideology of Florida in the Florida classrooms, provided it's not part of instruction under a settlement reached Monday between Florida education officials and civil rights attorneys who had challenged a state law, which critics dubbed as Don't Say Gay. The settlement clarifies what is allowed in Florida classrooms following passage 2 years ago of the law prohibiting instruction on sexual orientation, fair enough, and gender identity in the early grades. Opponents said the law had created confusion about whether teachers could identify themselves as LGBTQ+, or even could have a rainbow sticker in the classroom. Why would you want one? Why would you want to bring one? Unless you're going to talk about the Bible, about the flood, about the token that God's given us to remind us that we're never going to destroy the earth again by water. Other states use the Florida law as a template to pass prohibitions in classroom instruction on gender ideology and sexual orientation. Alabama, Arkansas, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, and North Carolina. I've got friends in North Carolina. My business partner's sister lives there. Very nice at the moment. A bit snowy, I think, at the moment. Is it? It could be. No, it's going to be. Yeah, it's coming up. Getting a bit cooler. They've got a lovely little cottage there. Right up in the hills there, and he's a skier. He's my age, 65, and he's still skiing. He might be a bit younger than me. I'm 64. Under the terms of the settlement of the Florida Board of Education, it will send instructions to every school district saying the Florida law doesn't prohibit prohibit discussing LGBTQ+ people. Nor prevent anti-bullying rules on the basis of sexual orientation and gender ideology. All nonsense, isn't it? Gender ideology. You're a boy or a girl. It's only called sex. Gender is language, my friends. It is not what sex you are. Or disallow gay straight alliance groups. The settlement also spells out that the law is neutral, meaning that what applies to LGBTQ+ people also applies to heterosexual people, and that it doesn't apply to library books not being used for instruction in the classroom. There we are. Now, so that is that, and I think we've just about wrapped up the African news and the Florida news. Oh, a wee bit more. Their warden ousted as FBI again search Californian federal women's prison plagued by sexual abuse. Biden and Trump could clinch nominations on Tuesday, which is today our time, and the contest ushers in the general election. Letter carrier robberies continue as the U.S. Postal Service union and lawmakers seek a solution. Libraries struggle to afford the demand for e-books and seek new state laws to fight with publishers. Is it in a fight with the publishers? And major donor to Britain's conservative blasted for remarks about black lawmaker. A major donor to British ruling Conservative Party is under fire after he reportedly said a black member of parliament made him want to hate all black women, and he shouted, "Should be shot." Oh, quite right. No, no. What a halfwit. What a stupid thing to say. Honestly, I say some silly things, don't I, Digger?
You do. You say some stupid things sometimes.
I know. But, you know, you said, do this. Just usually it's just, you know, thoughtlessness when you say things like that. You know, I haven't got a mean bone. I haven't got a mean bone in my body, I don't think. I don't think I hold on to grudges either. I let them go. Nothing much can really offend me. I don't think I'm offended by anything, actually. No, it's good not to be offended. Yeah, causing offence. They want to make a law, don't they? Jacinda Ardern wanted to make a law against offending people. How stupid. How silly is that? How silly to go through life thinking that you could just get through life and never be offended. British military reports a suspected piracy attack off the coast of Somalia. Oh, those blimmin' black bastards. Well, they are. A lot of them will be bastards. It is the British military. They say that several people have been boarded and taken control of a vessel in a suspected pirate attack in the Indian Ocean, nearly 700 miles, which is 1,100 kilometres, east of Somalia's capital, Mogadishu. That's what Wellington Hospital's like at the moment, Mogadishu. Sudan's military regains control of TV and radio headquarters. I'm just thinking about our TV and radios in tatters, isn't it? From the RSF after intense fighting, whoever they are. Sudan's military says it's regained control of the country's national radio intelligence headquarters from a rival paramilitary group it has been battling for about a year. Balinese celebrate New Year with firefights. Sword piercing? What does that mean? They pierce swords into people. And a sacred day of silence. Denpasar, Indonesia. Airports closed for 24 hours. Oh, that's a good idea, isn't it? The internet's turned off. Oh, that'll be good. And the streets were empty as the predominantly Hindu island of Bali in Muslim-majority Indonesia marked its new year with an annual day of silence as part of 6 days of extensive rituals. German military. The German Parliament's Commission for the Armed Forces says the country's military still has too little of everything, but progress is being made to secure new equipment nearly 2 years after a special fund was set up to modernise it. Pakistan authorities have barred visitors to the country's imprisoned former Prime Minister Imran Khan. He's a great bloke. He was on with Leighton Smith. Get that flying, will you, Digger? That one there. Annoying, it flies everywhere. Oh, you bring flies in, mate.
Don't be so rude. All right.
What have we got? Pakistan. Yeah, that's not good, is it? Fancy keeping him out. They've received intelligence about a possible attack on the prison where he's being held. Oh, rubbish. Police in southern Poland say that an alert taxi driver prevented a scam which an elderly woman would have lost the equivalent of about $36,000 in a phony bailout of relatives from jail. Which don't hang with crooks. Well, I suppose you can't choose your relations, can you? You can pick your friends, and you can pick your own nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose. A court in Belgium has, I don't know where that came from, a court in Belgium has convicted prominent far-right activist Dres van Langenhove to a year of prison on Tuesday, which is the day our time, just happened this morning. This is AP News, by the way, apnews.com. For what the judge called racist, hateful, Nazi and negationist speech in a major ruling on how the nation deals with extremism, just silencing people that don't agree with them. And the trial has begun in Norway of a man accused of aggravated terrorism for the deadly shooting of an LGBTQ+ at a festival in Oslo nightlife district. Germany's vice chancellor has launched a program initially worth up to 4 billion euros to help heavy industry shift more climate-friendly production over a 15-year period. And Nile Rodgers, the American songwriter and co-founder of the 1970s influential disco band Chic. Have we got them, Digger?
Yeah, I think we have. You keep talking and I'll find it.
Okay. Let me help you find it. I think I've got it here. Chic. Yeah, we've got it. Let's have a listen to that. One, two, three, now. That better be all we should play, because what will happen is then anyone listening on these on Facebook will they will be all shut down. In fact, I think they've shut me down. I think we're not even on Facebook at the moment. It looks like you are. You go on and think, oh, yeah, we're streaming. Oh, great. And then they tell us everything's good, all been restored and everything. But when you log in through another account or a friend's account, you can't even see us. So they're a pack of mongrels, aren't they? So if you're listening over on Facebook, you better get over to Rumble or go onto one of the streams in the description there, and then you'll be able to hear the music. So we're going to play it now. It is 26 minutes past 6 o'clock. Good morning to you, and we'll have a look at this day in history as well. We'll have a look at some more news around the world, and also the world gone mad, and New Zealand, which is completely bonkers. No, well, we've got to, that'll do. We're never going to get through the news. We've only got till 7 or 8. Got too late. Okay, so that's Chic there. That is the band. Nile Rodgers is the fellow, and he's been given an award called the Polar Music Prize. It's the Swedish Music Award, and the award panel said that on Tuesday, the American musician, he's a guitarist too, by the way, Nile Rodgers. Looking at the Philippines, Philippine trade officials, they say they have received assurances that the United States will address their concerns after American authorities held up shipments of garments on suspicion that cotton was produced by forced labour in the Xinjiang region. Also, is that too loud, Digger?
It could be a bit loud. Tone it down a bit. Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry, mate. Sorry, mate. Not used to the stylus. Yeah. Oh, hang on. All right, there you go. How's that?
That's good, Digger. That's good. That was good. It was like the disco days, wasn't it? And also the European's oldest monarch, Norwegian King Harald. Harald V, he's received a permanent pacemaker. And the palace said on Tuesday that the monarch successfully underwent surgery at the Onslow University Hospital and will remain there for a few more days yet. China, Iran, and Russia have begun a joint naval drill in the Gulf of Oman, a crucial waterway near the mouth of the Persian Gulf. And many of Germany's train drivers are staging a 24-hour strike in the latest installment of the long-running and bitter dispute over workers' hours and the country's main railway operator, while a walkout by cabin crew of Lufthansa. Is it Lufthansa or is it Lufthansa? I think it's Lufthansa.
Lufthansa. Jawohl.
Jawohl. In adding to disruption or to the travellers, poor travellers, poor people. You know, when COVID came, I thought, when the pandemic happened, I thought, well, that's it. Well, my ancestors came here in 1842 on a ship. they came, he never went anywhere else after that. I thought, well, if they can do it, I can do it too. I thought, stuff it, I'm not giving you any money. I'm not wearing a mask and I'm not getting jabbed just to go on a flight on the plane. New Zealand's beautiful. Why would you want to leave it? So a network operator has restored the power to the electric car manufacturer Tesla. So Elon's over the moon at Rabadan. Factory, that's the one near Berlin, after nearly a week of outages, are believed to have been caused by an arson attack, probably some Muslim terrorist or someone that Elon's pissed off. Officials are investigating what caused a strong shake before the sudden plunge of a plane travelling between Australia and New Zealand. That's LATAM airline it is. It's a Latin American one. India has implemented a controversial citizenship law, which has been widely criticised for excluding Muslims. Good. We should try that here. A minority community whose concerns have heightened under Prime Minister Narendra Modi's Hindu nationalist government. Good on you, mate. Got to keep those buggers out. And I think Japan, I don't even think they can get citizenship over there. They're not silly. In Poland, they know all about the Muslims too. They've sought them out. Online influencer Andrew Tate and his brother have been detained again. Arrest warrants been issued by the British authorities. And stocks are rallying on Wall Street as we speak, following the latest update on the inflation. The S&P 500 was 1% higher on Tuesday, which is this morning our time, and on track to top its all-time high set last week. South Korea's government criticised senior doctors at a major hospital for threatening to resign in support of the weeks-long walkouts by thousands of medical interns and residents that have disrupted hospital operations. Ramadan kicks off, the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, when the faithful fast from dawn to dusk, and that's happening right now in Gaza. Everyone's fasting at the moment. That began at Sunshine Tuesday, is it? Sunshine, don't they mean sun up? Sunrise? Tuesday, as much of Asia, a day after many Muslims in the Middle East begin their fasts. And they're fasting, all right, they're into it. A Japanese man accused of helping to run a $90 million investment scam has been sent home after 4 years on the run. Indonesian authorities said on Tuesday, well, that doesn't make sense, does it? Well, if he did a scam, 90 million is quite a bit. Why isn't he behind bars? Anyway, I suppose I could go and read it. No, don't read it. And also, the Japanese studio, it's called Ghibli. The Japanese studio has won its second Oscar for the feature animation for The Boy and the Heron. Hasn't said yet what it plans next. Oh, okay. Fascinating. NATO military alliance is working to turn its diversity into diversity. What's that? Gender nonsense. Diversity into strength. Oh, this is just nonsense. Diversity into strength. As its members grow in response to Russia's threat. They've got all these boys there. These little pansy boys, they're going to fight the Russians. Oh, boy, they'll have another thing. America, I tell you what, if it was an all-out war with America, boy, those Russians, I think they would win hands down. They've had a year of fighting NATO. Don't say they've been fighting Kiev. They haven't been fighting the those people. No, they haven't. They've just been the poor pawns. They have just been the pawns, the battle fodder. The cannon fodder on the battlefield, 500 million, according to Colonel Douglas McGregor, 500 young men and old men now too. And I know people that were training them, and it's awful. It was quite awful for them. They actually had to just sort of switch off at night. They knew that they justified what they were doing. Well, they had to because they were ordered to. But one officer I spoke to, he said that if we could keep them alive for another few hours or, you know, a day even, that was what we were training them to do. We knew that they were going to their death. You know, we're not stupid. We've got social media. We know what's going on. And their whole idea, they just sort of rationalised training these Ukrainians just to try and keep them alive for a bit longer. They didn't last very long. Russia doesn't want this war. The West is telling lies, saying he wants to expand into Europe. It's just rubbish. Nonsense. Doesn't just Colonel Douglas McGregor, MAC, McGregor. He was a former White House advisor for the Trump administration. All right, I've had enough of that. Man, had enough of international news. We might have a look at the local news in a moment. I'll be back in a moment.
And whether it's the United Kingdom or just today, we've got news that Rashid Sunak is now the Prime Minister.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Yesterday I saw a man wearing fishnet stockings with a Palestinian flag. If he was in the Gaza Strip, in your opinion, how many metres would he make before he was prevented from celebrating his own identity?
Take him.
Well,
like a shark.
They would take him. Tie his hands behind his arms.
Oh, dear.
And then throw stones at him until he dies. Yeah. Anyone who thinks that they're somehow woke or cool for supporting Hamas is supporting beheading babies.
Yeah, nonsense, isn't it? Millions of Muslims begin the holy month. Oh, we've done that. International news. Let's go for New Zealand news now. Let's have just a quick look at rural news, because that's important to us here in this country, by the way. It is very important. So we'll have a look at that now. And I've just got to do a quick click and a flick there. Thanks, Digger.
88.1 FM, the wireless rural news.
Right, we're looking at rural news. The time is 19 minutes away from 7 o'clock, and let's get right into it. I've just got to find it first. Rural news, where are you there? Rural Farmers Weekly we are today, and the Marlborough officials, they meet on the drought call. Stock water is short, and rivers increasingly are under pressure. Have a quick look at that. I think it's quite important, that one. And let's tell you, just fill you in on that so you city slickers know what's going on. Neil Wallace and Annette Scott report on this one. The Marlborough Drought Committee will meet the government officials on Wednesday. It's today. They're going to consider the region should be declared an adverse event during due to the drought conditions. Marlborough Federated Farmers President Evan White said farmers are continuing to feed out supplements and further reduce stock, while dairy farmers are considering a once-a-day milking. White said the hopes adverse event will be declared. Yeah, he wants an adverse event declared given the spreading of dry conditions in Nelson, North Canterbury and parts of Otago and South Canterbury. Stock water is short in Marlborough as well, and rivers are all under pressure. But White said that while irrigation is still allowed, wind and heat mean that the what they call evapotranspiration, that's when things evaporate, the water evaporates there, and the wind as well, it exceeds what's being applied. So that's some bad news for the New Zealand at the moment. Now, the New Zealand, what do they call themselves? The NZSA, that's the What is that? The Shareholders Association, that's right. They weigh in on the PGG rights and board battle. There's a bit of a battle going on over there, so I better tell you about that. It's one of the worst, actually, one of the worst cases of interference, actually, by a major shareholder. Shareholders' battle for control of the PGG rights and board has escalated. New Zealand Shareholders Association has lodged a resolution it once considered at a looming special shareholders' meeting to counter-propose board changes. It said will cement control by the company's largest shareholder, Agria, and that's an Asian thing. Singapore-based Agria owns 44.3% of PGG rights and PGW, and last month issued a notice proposing the removal of current director Gary Moore, who's only just been appointed, Sarah Brown and Charlotte Severn, and replacing them with Alan Lai, Wilson Louis, and Vina Crawley and Tracy Haupapa. No date has been set for the meeting. 3 days after Agria issued its request for a meeting, a majority of the board elected independent director Moore. Rather, a majority of the board elected independent director Moore as chair, replied, didn't make any sense, replacing Agria-appointed director Yu Kin Sin, who had been acting chair since last July. He remains an independent director. Now, Moore announced that at the time that the board had invited Agria to re-engage in good faith discussions in order to explore options for a more constructive outcome. The board is mindful of its duties. In the letter to shareholders on Friday, March the 8th, in New Zealand Shareholders Association Chief Executive Oliver Mander, he says that Agria proposed changes would determine, and they'd be detrimental, I should say, to the smaller PGW shareholders, labelling the issue one of the worst cases of board interference by a majority shareholder in the last few years. There we are. If a successful vote in favour of these proposed resolutions will result in the increase to the size of PGW's board, from the current 5 directors to 6, comprising of 2 directors as direct representatives of Agria and 4 additional directors, 3 of whom have been nominated by Agria. That's what the letter says. The association is seeking to mobilise minority shareholders and has proposed counter-resolutions for inclusion in PGG Wrightson's constitution. That includes forbidding a controlling shareholder with greater than 30% shares from voting on elections on re-election of independent directors. It also calls for the removal of independent director Meng Foon, appointed in July 2022. There we are. Some shenanigans going on there. Yesterday, we talked about the Climate Change Commission. Well, I didn't want to read it because it's just nonsense. But the ruby red kiwi fruit, that's a success story set up to hit milestone season this season. We talked about that briefly yesterday, but it's actually pretty good. So we'll just recap on that. They look lovely. The kiwi fruit, about 1 million trays or 3,600 tonnes of zespri, it's called the popular berry-like zespri ruby red kiwi fruit, are expected to be consumed this season. Zespri ruby red kiwi fruit is now available in most supermarkets and fruit and vegetable stores in New Zealand and will be in markets throughout Asia. The Asia-Pacific area, including Japan, China, Taiwan, Singapore, and for the first time, a season in Korea, Malaysia and Hong Kong. Zespri's chief executive, Dan Matheson, he is excited. I bet you are. He says it's exciting, reaching 1 million tray milestone for ruby red kiwi fruit. Maybe I should slow down. Read slower, then we can understand what you're talking about. Have a pause. Okay. Chief Executive Dan Matheson, he's excited and to reach the 1 million tray milestone for ruby red kiwi fruit, which is in its third year of commercial production. There's a strong demand for ruby red, which generates the high level of excitement and uptake amongst customers and consumers, and particularly the younger consumers who love the distinctive taste, the colour and the health benefits as well. So that's great news, isn't it? Marketing campaign will support the sale of Zespri's ruby red kiwi fruit across the markets. They've got a campaign happening there. So that's good news. Another good news story in the rural market. And SIDE, to mark a quarter century with a cracking conference. New Zealand's largest dairy conference aims to empower farmers through education and networking opportunities. That is South Island, isn't it? Excellence to meet innovation as the dairy industry gears up for New Zealand's premier dairy conference. Now, the South Island Dairy Event, or SIDE, SIDE 2024, will celebrate 25 years as it brings together farmers from across the South Island for a two-day conference, and it's going to be filled with informing workshops and expert speakers. They've even got a guy who was a former SAS fellow going to be speaking to them. That'll be fun. You'd need to be. You'd have to have the resilience of the SAS to get through farming in these troubled times. The event was established in 1998 as a platform for the South Island farmers to evaluate knowledge and skills relevant to their business. SIDE has grown over the years to become New Zealand's largest dairy conference, tailored specifically towards empowering farmers through education and networking opportunities. Event chair, looks like Yoni Hoots said that in an event, there's nothing like it, offering attendees the opportunity to gain insight into cutting-edge research and to network with like-minded individuals. Registrations are now open, with the 25th annual event this year taking place at Lincoln University. He said that SIDE 2024 promises a lineup of workshop topics that address key issues facing South Island dairy farmers. The keynote speakers, including former Australian SAS, that's what I thought, he was a medic, Dan Pronk, Fonterra's chief scientist and technology officer, Jeremy Hill, and Hem Preno and Meat and Need founder, Siobhan. I always have trouble with that. Looks like Siobhan, doesn't it? Siobhan O'Malley. Attendees can expect to be inspired by industry leaders who are paving the way for success in their industries. And there's a photograph there of a very handsome former Australian SAS medic, Dan Pronk. I've seen him before. He's got a happy smile. Doesn't look like a killer. Oh, no, he's a medic. No, they go patch you up, don't they? So that's that. That's exciting for the South Island farmers. Also, there's another rural conference, Rise from Rock Bottom. Federated farmers remain optimistic as there's a new survey that shows that farmers are beginning to be confident, but I don't think so. I think that's the fact that the National Coalition has got in and gave them a wee bit of a jab in the arm, but or in the bum. I don't think they're that confident. Farm confidence has recovered. No, I don't agree with this. From last year's record low, but high interest rates, poor commodity prices and regulatory costs are weighing heavy on farmers. In fact, when Labor was in, we got the highest price for our beef. I think we got almost $7. If it wasn't $7, it might have been $7 a kg. Now we're down to $5.80 at the moment. Now, Langsford says farmers are struggling with high inflation, high interest rates and lower commodity prices, and the impact that's having on their profitability. Most farmers are still feeling that general economic conditions are bad, and that's what I said, and most are still making a loss. Where we are seeing a shift is in the number of farmers who expect things will improve in the next 12 months. So it's just all in the mind, isn't it? So times are tough, but there's a sense of cautious optimism. Compared to last July, the January survey shows more farmers expect their production and spending to increase. Fewer farmers expect their debt to increase in the next 12 months ahead. Well, you wouldn't want to keep borrowing. And the banks aren't making it easy for you to borrow. Why is it that farmers have to pay more the higher interest rate than residential? That's not right. Government need to step in there. Oh, my back. Oh, God, you old codger. Stop complaining. 14 minutes away from 7 o'clock. We might give you some Aussie news at 7, give my throat a rest. Now, what else have we got happening? He's optimistic, though. This is Langford. He's optimistic that it's a start of a genuine, steady increase in confidence. Mm-hmm. Tim Janjan is the beef farmer of Auckland's West Coast and the 2022 Young Farmer of the Year. He says farmers are in knuckle-down phase and weathering the storm, but he senses a shift in rural confidence. He said, I think farmers in general have started to adjust to the change of the climate. What is that, climate change? Don't believe that nonsense. Danjan, a 2024 Xander MacDonald Award finalist, he's the winner, announced in March, that was on the 11th to the 13th, says the tight times have forced farmers to scrutinise their own businesses and find efficiencies. Yeah, that's that news. And the Environment Canterbury rates and pillages, Federated Farmers. A call for the central government to urgently step in to force a pause on changes to the regional freshwater rules until the newly national policy direction is confirmed. They've got to stop these councils, these regional councils. They're a law unto themselves. And then, of course, we had Maui Milk. They've told their customers they've got to dry off their stock right in the middle of breeding. They've got pregnant ewes. They need to feed them. And they haven't got the milk, so they've done a very bad job for the farmers there. So you just got to be careful, don't you, who you go with. Don't go with the flipping Chinaman because they'll let you down. They will. They are future enemies. Come on. You know they are. So don't stop arguing. Right. I'll be back in a minute with some local news. Oh, and we'll have a look and see what happened on this day in history as well, for good measure. Now, where's the turntable digger?
It's over here.
Mahmoud Abbas, who now runs the Palestinian Authority, signed this into law. This means and I'm quoting Article 2 here, prisoners, anyone incarcerated in the occupation's prisons for his participation in the struggle against the occupation will be given a salary by the Palestinian... Let me finish my point.
They will be given
a salary by the Palestinian Authority. Oh, you think they're freedom fighters? Well, let me tell you another couple of things then. Because everyone watching pays their taxes, and some of their taxes go to the Palestinian Authority. Here's the budget the Palestinian Authority in 2018. This is the PA's own budget, Mr. Barghouti, so don't lie about that. $162 million was allocated to the Prisoners and Released Prisoners Ministry. In 2018, approximately $193 million was given by the PA to Families of the Martyrs. There is an increasing list, depending on how many Jews you've killed, of the amount of money you get.
It's 10 to 7, and it's that was Douglas Murray. The 13th of March today, happy birthday to you. 1956 on this day, New Zealand's first Test cricket victory. New Zealand was already 3-0 down in the series, going into the fourth and final Test at Eden Park in Auckland. Their West Indies opponents included household names such as Gary Sobers and Everton Weeks, who had broken battling records for New Zealand season.
Have you had a stroke? Have you had a stroke?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm all right. Now, let's look at your local news.
88.1 FM, The Wireless, New Zealand News.
Right, New Zealand News, 9 minutes away from seven. We'll have news from, where's the news going to be from? It is from, what's happened to the sword fishing? Sword fishing's gone. There we are. Oh, no, there we are. Got sword fishing there. There we are. This program features commentary, actions and opinions, blah, blah, blah. And it disappeared. Yeah, it's great, sword fishing. So if you want to go to Rumble, if you're listening on the web, go over to Liberty NZ at Rumble, and you can hear the, you can watch the sword fishing. But, and talking about hearing, is that too loud, Digger?
Come here a little bit loud anyway. That's better.
Okay, that is very good. Now, so we've had that New Zealand day. Let's go to the Centrist and have a look there. And Television New Zealand, state broadcaster, has announced significant job cuts. More, that was yesterday. Programming adjustments, including the loss of long-running shows and the daily news bulletins, notably the current affairs program Sunday and the consumer advocacy show or program Fair Go. They're among those being cut, and the fallout continues to grow. The decision comes amidst the decline of television news viewership and advertising revenue in the face of digital competition and the changing consumer habits. Meanwhile, shows such as the 6pm News, entertainment programs 7 Sharp and Breakfast, which won't have any competition once TV3's morning show AM ends in June, remain untouched. The Balance, that's a publication called The Balance, I think it's a blog, The Balance observes that the primary driver behind the cuts appears to be financial viability. They say, what's the difference with these programs? Well, aside from the fact that they'll only be offering their type in their given time slots, the crucial thing is that they all have to make money. And you can go over to The Balance. You can find more information at The Balance, but that is found at thecentrist.co.nz. That information there. Now, the government unveils a draft transport plan yesterday with a focus on roads and eventually user charges. Transport Minister Simeon Brown recently released a draft government policy, the GPS they call it, the land transport, outlining the government's priorities for transport investment over the next decade. Dr. Matthew Birchall of New Zealand Initiative says the plan emphasises the reinstatement of the Roads of National Significance, the ROMS program, with 15 new projects slated for construction alongside a $500 million fund for pothole repairs. Additionally, the draft GPS, which replaced the previous government's draft GPS from August 2023, refocuses attention on core activities, classes to ensure effective spending and productivity. It also aims at shifting funding responsibility from public transport services towards user, reducing the burden on road users. Importantly, Minister Brown signals a move towards replacing fuel tax with an electronic road user charge system. Big Brother is watching you. Which would consider factors like distance, vehicle type, and the time of travel. While that's the time you travel during the day. While the transition from fuel tax is not expected to occur for several years, this shift aligns with recommendations for a more responsive road funding model. The success of these plans, however, will depend on effective execution in the coming years. You can read more about that at the New Zealand Initiative, and that you can find that little short story there and read more about it in the New Zealand Initiative. But first of all, in the first instance, go to thecentrist.co.nz. In other news, WHO has a sinister neo-imperial agenda, according to a doctor. And this doctor here, vaccines are now the new gumboots in WHO's scheme for global health laws, warns this doctor. Pleasant-sounding buzzwords out of the World Health Organization, or WHO, mask a sinister neo-imperial agenda, says Dr. David Bell, a clinician and public health physician. The WHO has been rebooted to deliver new colonial order akin to the 19th century Europe's gumboot diplomacy under the guise of vaccine equity, he says. The noble field of international public health was born in the 1850s, to tackle the downside of Europeans' colonialism, namely the induction in the West of pestilences such as did I send an introduction? In the West, the pestilence, like cholera and typhus and smallpox, that sort of thing, they're blaming us for that. It was eventually rebranded Global Health to reflect more progressive modern era. Bell argues that the WHO's response to the COVID pandemic has exacerbated the plight of former colonies and in reality perpetuated inequalities. He writes, with the world turning full circle post-World War II, concepts of human rights, equality and local agency are exciting the international stage. Exiting. I said, when I was pre-reading this, because I had a quick look at about 5 o'clock, I got it wrong then too. So you just keep repeating your mistakes. The veiled colonialism currently dressed up as vaccine equity looks like a bunch of colonial bureaucrats forcing their sponsors' wares on those with less power whilst building policies to ensure the imbalance remains. Malnutrition, infectious disease, child marriage and generational poverty are side issues to the bottom line. You can read more about that at the Daily Skeptic. We just have a short break, a cough break, and I'll be right back with more news from the centrist in just a moment.
Now, one of the world's most prestigious universities has suffered a massive funding blow because of its refusal to condemn calls for a genocide against Israel, because it's been weak on anti-Semitism. This is an encouraging development, a case of strong values and clear logic fighting back against the dangerous woke culture that's enveloping educational institutions around the world and which has reached a new low over the Israel-Hamas conflict. Let me take you through this as it unfolded. Like other universities, Harvard, the most prestigious university in the US, has been swamped by pro-Palestinian activism. There have even been ugly scenes of pro-Palestine or pro-Hamas protesters surrounding and intimidating Jewish students.
I thought he was going to go into a long-winded thing and then that was it. Anyway, Elon Musk, he stares down from the virtual drawbridge of his ex's European headquarters in Dublin at the barbarians laying siege at the gates, and he must be wondering where it's all going to end. State-funded left-wing activists in Europe admit a loss of influence over ex's, formerly Twitter, European headquarters in Dublin following Musk's takeover of the platform, and they cite cutbacks in content moderation and Musk's libertarian bent towards free speech. Journalist Thomas O'Reilly writes, the social media giant's operation was previously staffed by former Irish officials and civil advocacy groups and has been repeatedly plagued by accusations of covertly cooperating with the left in Ireland. With the X's shift, progressives, that's people like Jacinda Ardern, are re-evaluating their strategies, redirecting attention to platforms like TikTok, which is terrible platform, and involvement in the Digital Services Act rollout. Musk's management style and corporate purge of leftist influences, including within X, including free speech pledges from employees, have prompted legal battles. And this happened while Ireland emerges as a central hub for tech censorship amid rising challenges to hate speech legislation. The recently established Digital Services Act, the DSA, grants significant regulatory authority to 75-person, it's called the Coiseum Na Mean, it's based in Dublin, to oversee the online content moderation for the EU population of about 450 million people. O'Reilly notes it's seen by many as Europe's nerve centre for monitoring and removing alleged hateful content ahead of a busy election cycle. You can read more about that at the European Conservative. Another brutal swing of the axe. Oh, we got that. And the curious case of the 217 jabs. Now, remember yesterday we talked about this fellow who had 217 jabs and the media just jumped on it without checking. The mainstream media jumped on that and they were promoting that. Why? Because it was pro-jab, wasn't it? This fellow apparently had 217 jabs and didn't have anything wrong with them. Now, in a strange twist, mainstream media has embraced the story of this German criminal. Didn't tell you that, did he? Claiming to have received 270 COVID vaccine doses, despite the person facing charges relating to fake vaccine card sales. I'll play a commercial while I recover. Play something.
What the Pope just did. He issued a decree.
No, that goes too long. That's Jonathan Cahn. It's very good. We might play that later. I might play that at the very end of the program. But we won't do it right now.
The weekend update from Batchet Bonkers Britain, where, despite having found half a face, Abdul, another body has turned up in the Thames. Many of us Brits are starting to wonder if the Thames has got a higher body count than even the Clintons over in America. In other news, Shamima Bubblegum is not going to be allowed back into the UK. It's cost the taxpayer about £6 million so far to line the pockets of lefty lawyers. She will, of course, be let in eventually, because what's another Islamist when the Speaker of the House of Commons is being royally rogered up the arse all the way from the river to the sea. And finally, Google have said it may have a problem with its AI program Gemini because it can only make black people, a black pope, black Vikings, even black founding fathers, which is all right until you ask it who's responsible for the majority of gun violence in Chicago, and then it's a black person, and that's clearly racist. That's it from Batchet Bonkers Britain.